Wasn't it on? I'm not going to say stuff again because I'm nervous this morning. Anyway, happy birthday. Turn to Romans chapter 1, verses that were read. I have some things on my mind. Having gone to another country to take the gospel, to share the gospel with people in another culture, another way of thinking, another outlook at life, being not only coming with a message that they may not accept, but being from another country, North America. You learn a lot about people, about culture, about things. And you learn that some things are the same no matter where you are in the world. Languages are different and culture is definitely different, but you know that people reject the gospel, that people feel offended that you share the gospel with them. Many of them do. One government official said to me, why do you come and do this? We have a religion of our own, and we're content with it, and why do you have to come? And I told them why we came. And, well, they didn't curtail what we were doing, but at the same time, he was a happy camper. And you learn that sin and rebellion and denial of God in the gospel are common among human beings. People, by birth, by nature, are sinners, by practice. And the world keeps going, performing its deplorable acts, wars, these many wars in Africa and other places where people go in and grab girls and wipe out villages. We already read about them in our newspapers. But it's bad. Christians are taking a beating in many places in the world. And there's ethnic cleansing from some cultures. China's involved in that right now. Some ethnic cleansing. And there are governments that are unable to function properly because of riots and rebellion and bombings and other things that are going on. There's abortion. Abortion is murder, isn't it? Murder. Taking a life that God had ordained to be, and it's murder. And people shrug their shoulders at it. They don't even want to accept the term. And it's not just ignoring God's own life, but it's attempt to keep God in the background. More than that, there's a desire not only to keep God in the background, but to punish and criticize those who believe in him, want to follow him. Before I was saved, about the time I became a Christian, why, things were different. You might meet somebody and talk to them and they say, I'm a Lutheran. Oh, okay. But you didn't feel offended by it, right? And if you try to, you say, well, I'm a Catholic, you say, Luther left the Catholic Church. But it was just smiling, and everybody went their way. Everybody holds their views, and they have a right to hold them. And so there was this thing going on all the time. And there was a respect among people. And so religion, according to the world today, is a denial of freedom. It's an imposition on my freedom to feel and be and to do. To be what I want to be, you have no right not only not to share your gospel, but what business is it of yours, and why would God even judge me and condemn me if there is a God? Things are getting bad, frankly, people. And so people want their ability to do as they want. But they not only want to put religion in the background, today people want to destroy it. They're trying to wipe it out. They mock it, but they're out to destroy it. Create laws that make it hard for even bold people to speak up. They don't want to put it in the background. They wish to destroy it. And destroying it, those who are open about the faith, they create maybe a loss of job, criticism among your co-workers, criticism in the world. It is tough. And to be and to share your testimony. School systems have gone astray. When you read about colleges and schools and what things are taught, you cringe. Not because you're so politically upset. You cringe at the direction that people are going in their lives and the way they think about their ability and privacy to do what they want anytime they want, and don't interfere with me. Now, I don't know how much you read or maybe you watch, look at Facebook and other, but not more than maybe 6 weeks ago, a police officer went into a coffee shop in Alabama after the article, I thought probably it was Starbucks. Anyway, I shouldn't say. And he went into this coffee shop to get a cup of coffee. And while he was there starting to sip it, a woman called the manager and says, "I want you to ask him to leave. He makes me uncomfortable." So the police officer, being well-trained and smart, left. But that wasn't the end of it. Now, a couple weeks later, I'm not exactly sure the timing about this, I read in the paper that the city government, through the police union, went after that coffee shop. And it cost them a lot of money. But the point is, I feel uncomfortable with them. The idea that maybe police officers are all killers. Things have changed. People not only want to advance our country according to their agenda, but people feel that the only way to do that is to destroy. And I'm not just talking politics, I'm talking religion, to destroy, so that once it's destroyed, we can make it anew and get rid of the people who are in the way, the people who created all of this chaos and ugliness in history. And history has even been being taught poorly as immoral society flaunting their sin in demonstrations and in Halloween costumes and stuff like that. And to speak the gospel is inappropriate, offensive. And I don't want to feel bad, so I don't speak it. Just leave it alone. So we're looking for ways to quiet religion. Question is, where's God? And that's one of the things they hold up. Where's God? There's a God, and he's against this. Why is he letting this go on? I mean, show me somewhere where a group of people have been zapped or judged. Show me somewhere where God is working. What's interesting about this is that Christians are concerned about it also. Where's God in all this? Why aren't things happening? Why doesn't God show himself to us and to the world around us? First chapter 1, verse 18, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth and unrighteousness." Now notice verse 17, and it's not a big deal, but every Bible has a division here. Throw the division out and just read it smoothly. Get rid of this, that he stops at one theme and another. Righteousness and wrath go together. And notice the wording. Oh, he said, verse 17, okay, "And the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith." Verse 18, "For the wrath of God is revealed." when God sent His Son to the world, He was showing how holy He was, how He cared for humanity. But He was showing what His character was and making it clear that mankind had a responsibility to rightly be related to Him. So He sent His Son. And of course, His Son became the propitiation for our sins and reconciled us to God and made it so that we could know Him and have eternal life. But the wrath of God goes against the wishes of fallen humanity. The wrath of God. See? What kind of God is that? Wrath stuff. I've got some things I want to read here to you. Excuse me. The head of a department of evangelism of a major denomination, now remind you, the head of the department of evangelism, he said this: we do not need to evangelize the people of the world who have never heard the message of salvation. We need only to announce to them that they are already saved. Now that sounds nice. God is love and He cares. And if you go to people who have never heard and give them the gospel, then you're creating a problem in their life. Guilt, perhaps. Or some other feeling. And that we don't have to go to them. If they don't understand the light, we don't have to go and tell them. That is, now this is from the head of the Department of Evangelism. That is the most ludicrous statement. Put it together. You cannot tell them. Just leave them alone. Something else. The Times of London. Apparently this church, where they sing psalms, we don't do that in America, but every once in a while you hear on TV. Pretty good. Anyway, this London Times talked about a church. Study groups were looking up psalms and concluded that 84 of them were not fit for Christians. Why? This is the quote: the wrath and vengeance of God is spoken of. So 84 psalms we can't bring into this. Now, 84 of them, well, we won't sing those. We'll just sing the ones that talk about the love of God and the wrath of God. Well, we don't want to hear that. So leaders are rejecting or accepting this tide of universalism and the belief that because God's a loving God, He's just letting things go. And if that's true, obviously there'd be no place for biblical evangelism. So some things we have to learn. When you study Romans, it's good to stop at some of these words and understand them. Scriptures make it clear that righteousness and justice and wrath and judgment are as much divine attributes as the love and mercy of God. They're all part of His character. And you see that in the Scriptures. So, for example, if you read Deuteronomy chapter 28. Okay, 68 verses. I hope I got that right. 68 verses. The first 15 are blessings. You do this, you'll be blessed. You do that, your crop. You do that, your life, your health. The rest of them are about God's right to judge. God's right to judge our lives, our conduct, our thoughts. And if you read those last verses, 50 of them detail God's judgment. How? If you do this kind of sin, that will be the results. If you live this way, those will be the results. If you ignore me, that will be the result. What you reap, you sow. And that is part of the presence of God's wrath today. Where's God? He is showing us what the world is reaping. Now, he will come again, obviously. And there will be what we call, I like these big words, eschatological judgment in the end time. But the way the word is written, the wrath of God is being revealed, not will be, is in the process of being revealed. God is active, and he's showing to us that he has demonstrated to the world that unless they accept him, these are the results of your lifestyle. So I'd like to make it clear that verse 18, the wrath of God is being revealed, is in the process of showing itself. Now, when you read the rest of this chapter, you see it. They denied God, so this is what happened. They denied God, so that's what happened. And all these moral sins and all these other kind of sins, they are a result of God just simply saying, go. He told Noah, my spirit will no longer strive with man. And my spirit will no longer strive, and he brought the flood, judgment. So, now, some people think the wrath of God is primarily an Old Testament subject. Well, you read that he brought his wrath on Noah's age, and he brought his wrath on Sodom and Gomorrah. And he brought his wrath on Egypt. And he brought his wrath on Israel in the wilderness. And he brought his wrath upon Israel when they denied him. They were carried away to Babylon and other nations. That's Old Testament. But in the New Testament, because Jesus Christ died, God is showing his love for everyone. And everyone saved. Don't share the gospel with people. And God has shown to us. John the Baptist said, talking to the first, flee from the wrath to come. Making it clear to these people that God is going to do something to judge. That wrath is in the end, but the wrath is always also in their lifetime. We're studying the life of Paul Wednesday night. And Paul is in Rome. Jerusalem. People have said, don't go there and all this. Paul was correct in going there. He's doing absolutely what God wanted. And so Paul is there. And in his speech to Felix, Festus, Agrippa, he is making it clear about the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Little did those Jews know that Paul's speaking was the final nail in their coffin. In this sense, I don't mean they can't be saved today, but the fact for the nation, about 6 years later, and this is really important, it's just not a little bit of history, about 6 years later, a Roman army came in and tore down the temple, and the Jews were scattered. And they lived without it, under the dominion of other people. That's God's wrath. See, why? The Jews, I want to be careful here because there are many Jewish believers. I read their magazines and I enjoy that. The point is they had heard again and again. And Paul's one last trip was an appeal to the Jewish Sanhedrin and the Roman leaders and a leader of Israel, Agrippa the Each one was hearing about the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I don't even know if Paul could say in 6 years. We've got some politician told us in 12 years the earth is going to be ruined and all that stuff. I noticed that that politician is shooting their mouth off right now about it. Paul couldn't say, but he had was urged to go to Jerusalem one last time. he wanted to go to Rome, and what's interesting about that also, when he went to Jerusalem, and Paul had some fears, they were trying to kill him, they were trying to waylay him, they had plots to kill him. And God said to Paul, don't worry, you're going to get to Rome. Now, you know, Paul, if I say you're going to get to Rome, I'll take care of the detail. Doesn't make a difference if you go first class. Doesn't make any difference if you're on some little boat that's going to get swamped, or if you're a prisoner from a Roman government. You're going to get to Rome. What's important is that you're going to get there and you're going to be able to do what you would like to do. So, the wrath of God, and God is not an idle spectator. Look at what's going on around. Our young people are losing their minds and their souls and their bodies. Why doesn't God stop it? Because we can turn to Him. We're free to look to Him. All right, so here's something I copied out of a book of quotes. Quoting from somebody, but I like this. One lesson and only one. History may be said to repeat with distinctiveness, that the world is built somehow on moral foundations, that in the long run, it is well with the godly, and in the and in the long run, it is ill with the wicked. We just look and see, God laid down principles, He laid down some things, believe, and in the long run, it's worth it. It comes out in our lives. And then you look at the people who've denied that they need the Lord Jesus Christ. This is madness in our country today. It really is. A guy from me, from kind of old school. Feels funny to say that. But we thought differently. Even against the people we didn't agree with. Never wanted to harm anybody. Never wanted to, I'm not gonna talk to you anymore. You offend me. You disturb me. You're Lutheran. Okay. So Martin Luther quit the Catholic Church. Okay. Okay. That's what I believed one time. Okay? So we have, I'm really sorry. Listen to the words of Jesus Christ, Matthew 5, 22, 29 to 30, said, the danger of hellfire. Matthew 8, 12, there'll be hell, weeping and gnashing of teeth. Matthew 10, in the day of judgment. In that day of judgment, it'll be better for Sodom and Gomorrah than it will be for you. And that must have been shocked. Well, and John 3, he said, fear those who are able to destroy both the body and soul in hell. Don't worry about those who destroy the body, but those who can rip your souls, destroy it in hell. 2 Corinthians 5:11, get this, Paul is talking about the gospel, and he says, because of the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Wow. Judgment. And Ephesians 5, 6, don't be deceived with empty words. The wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Don't be deceived with empty words. Romans 2, 5, and this is an interesting little verse. It says, but in accordance with the hardness and your impenitent heart, you are treasuring up for yourselves wrath for the day of judgment. God has not suddenly set aside all of these attributes other than love, mercy, and grace. He is holy, pure, all-knowing. So, fear of eternal judgment was the first motivation of Paul preaching the gospel. When he went into the world, whether he went to the people in Greece. Now, the Greek philosophers did what people do today, just laughed at him about this guy. Say. But others tried to kill him. And along the way, while he was also in places, there was demonic activity trying to interfere with the preaching of the gospel. All of the elements are there that we have in the world today to make the gospel meaningless to people. All right, so people, when you preach the gospel, have to understand God's right to judge and God's wrath before they can come to know Christ. See, people today, the gospel we preach is, look, if you come to know Jesus Christ and follow him, your life will have more peace. And if you teach your kids, the kids won't snot off so much and sass back. And if you learn some principles about handling people, you'll be successful. The gospel will allow you to go out and just feel like, wow, I have everything under control. The first thing a person needs is to understand that unless they come to Jesus Christ, they are under God's judgment and he has a right to judge. That's what brought me. I know a lot of things changed after I became a believer. But the night John Fisco led me to Jesus Christ, there was just one thing in my mind after I came home from San Francisco. One thing in my mind the whole train trip home is I've got to get things settled with God. I've got to know. And when I got home, and my path crossed with Fisco in a strange way. That night, he was witness to somebody else in a restaurant. And I was there. So I went to the table and I sat and drank some coffee. And the guy he was witnessing to got up and went to the men's room. And when he went to the men's room, I said, John, I want you to lead me to Jesus Christ tonight. He pretty near gagged on his food. Now, before I go home, I don't care where it is. Anyway, that night I came to know Christ. And it wasn't just so I could be a better person. I knew some things already. But it's that guilt and sin before God. And that was really important to me. So the wrath of God is revealed. Now, divine wrath is not the same as human wrath. Human wrath blows up. And it's capricious and strikes out and wants to destroy. Look at how angry they are today. Not only did you do something or you're raised at something in the past, but pay for it. Like anger. I'm wanting to strike out and hurt. And people's lives are being hurt. So, this present tense is being revealed. It's taking place at the present time. Where's God? Look around you. Pay more attention. He isn't leaving us alone. He's allowing the world to be left alone. What I mean by that is that it says in the first chapter of Romans, he turned them over to a reprobate mind. Follow your passions, your sins, yourself, your greed, your hate, and see where it gets you. And the gospel then, wrath comes at the end, but the gospel right now. There are things, as I said before, different wrath in the past. We have the Old Testament, as I mentioned before, Egypt, and plagues, and Israel in the wilderness, and so on and more. Now remember, one of the things about this wrath that is being showed is you reap what you sow. How's that God? Well, he has allowed sin to take control, and you reap what you sow. And then when you're in this, we have to get our kids off drugs. We have to do this. We have to do that. But we don't see it as destructive, more like, well, we just got to get them off. We got to save them for some reason or the other. And the truth cannot be as long as what it says. Verse 18. Now, Father, these ungodly men, unrighteous men, who suppress the truth. That's what's going on. Suppress it. I don't want to hear it. Makes me uncomfortable. I don't like you doing that. I don't like you saying that. We have to really understand what God is doing and give this gospel, and it's not easy. So beware of a sentimental gospel. I was surprised when I came home from Columbia. I had lost track of what was going on in America because my whole life, my thought, everything was just getting the gospel of those hillbillies back there in the mountains of Columbia. Sometimes I would listen to Voice of America news from shortwave. Oh, that happened? They're burning draft cards? Holy mackerel. What's going on? Oh, okay. So, the gospel is important. And Paul says, 1:16, that he's not ashamed of the gospel. It suggests he was aware of the world's opinion. To Timothy, his last letter, says, I'm not ashamed. And he told Timothy not to be ashamed. Even the most powerful men, the best preachers, the man who had one of the biggest impacts on the world, not just the Bible world, but one of the biggest impacts on the world, could feel the sense of being ashamed sometimes. And all of this stuff that is happening has a tendency to make us ashamed, especially when some person attacks you, right? Well, what right do you have? Say, I'm disturbed. I'm uncomfortable. Okay. And so, the wrath of God, then, as I said, is shown indirectly. So, you reap. All right, it's universal, and it's been shown God's intervention in the world. I can't go around today and say where God is doing it and say, oh, that tornado or that fire or that is God showing his wrath. I won't do that. I don't have that ability or insight. But I know that from what he says, these men suppress the truth. Why? Because what may be known of God is manifest to them, for God has shown it to them. They know and they understand. They may not understand theologically. They know something's wrong. They know that that there is a God. They know that they're not right. And so they have ways of handling it. Verse 20, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they're without excuse. People today are not just saying, leave me alone. They are actually, you preach the gospel. God is invading into their territory, asking them to receive him and his work and the work of Jesus Christ. So righteousness and wrath go together, never separate. And those who try to separate are really wrong. I'm going to read this. I thought it was so good that I copied it down. Okay. A Bible teacher, a favorite of mine, Donald Barnhouse, recounts the story of godly farmers in a Midwest community being irritated on Sunday morning by a neighbor's plowing his field across the road. that was making a lot of noise and blowing up dust. They were quite irritated by this. Right? And as it turned out, the man had purposely chosen to plow that particular field on Sunday morning in order to make a point. Here's what his point was. He wrote a letter to the editor of a local paper asserting that although he did not respect the Lord or honor the Lord's day, he had the highest yield per acre in the county. He was pretty proud of that. All right. He asked the editor how Christians could explain that. Here's what the editor did. With considerable insight and wisdom, the editor printed the letter and followed up with a simple comment. God does not settle all his accounts in the month of October. That's good, see. This farmer said, I have good crops and my field best in the county. So, I like what the editor said. I don't know if he got some help from somebody. But God does not settle all of his accounts in the month of October. Be encouraged. Be alive in Christ. Live for him. They're trying to make us ashamed. Ask God to strengthen. They're trying to intimidate us. And no matter what they say, the wrath of God is being revealed now. Later, yes, but now. God is busy. And all of this stuff we see in the world that seems as if it'll never change, or that dragging people down, look at it in this light. God has let them alone. But the gospel is still the power of God's salvation to anybody who believes. We need to be encouraged, and we need to be strong, and we need to be careful about questioning God. Where is he? Why isn't he doing things? Why doesn't he show himself? Why does he slap these people down? Why does he do something for the people of the world to turn and beg him for salvation? At the end, he's going to come. Every eye will see him. And there's going to be a whole world that's going to suffer his wrath then, too. The gospel is a wonderful message, isn't it? And men reject the gospel because it touches them and disturbs them. And I'm thankful for the death of Christ on the cross and God stepping into humanity. And he's doing it now. Rest in him, walk with him, grow in Jesus Christ. Be encouraged. Don't become cynical. See that his wrath is being revealed. Thank you, Father, for it. Your word. Thank you that the Apostle Paul was moved by the Holy Spirit to record these things for our sakes, to show us that no matter where we live or when we live, the gospel of righteousness is for every man. That's by faith. And help us to see also that you are not an idle spectator standing on the side, twiddling your thumbs, with your hands on your hips, that you're actively showing yourself in the affairs of the world. And we thank you for the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Thank you in Jesus' name.